I hear none, madam.
Prithee, listen well. I heard a bustling rumor like a fray, and the wind brings it from the capital.
Sooth, madam, I hear nothing.
Fellow, come hither. Which way hast thou been?
At mine own house, good lady.
What is the clock?
About the ninth hour, lady.
Is Caesar yet gone to the capital?
Madam, not yet. I go to take my stand, to see him pass on to the capital.
Thou hast some suit to Caesar, hast thou not?
That I have, lady. If it will please Caesar to be so good to Caesar as to hear me, I shall beseech him to befriend himself.
Why? Knowst thou any harms intended towards him?
None that I know will be. Much that I fear may chance. Good morrow to you. Here the street is narrow. The throng that follows Caesar at the heels of senators, of praetors, common suitors will crowd a feeble man almost to death. I'll get me to a place more void, and there speak to great Caesar as he comes along.
I must go in. Ay me, how weak a thing the heart of woman is. The heavens speed thee in thine enterprise.
Madam?
Sure the boy heard me. Brutus hath a suit that Caesar will not grant. Oh, I grow faint. Run, Lucius, and commend me to my lord. Say I am merry. Come to me again, and bring me word what he doth say to thee.
Of March are come.
Aye, Caesar, but not gone.
Hail, Caesar, read this schedule.
Trebonius doth desire you to o-read at your best leisure this his humble suit.
Oh, Caesar, read mine first, for mine's a suit that touches Caesar nearer. Read it, great Caesar.
What touches us ourselves shall be last served.
Delay not, Caesar, read it instantly.
What is the fellow mad?
Sirrah, give place.
What? Urge your petitions in the street. Come to the capital.
I wish your enterprise today may thrive.
What enterprise, Papilius?
Are you well?
What said Papilius, Lena?
He wished today our enterprise might thrive. I fear our purpose is discovered.
Look how he makes to Caesar. Mark him.
Guess could be sudden, for we fear prevention. Brutus, what shall be done? If this be known, Cassius or Caesar never shall turn back, for I will slay myself.
Cassius, be constant. Papilius Lena speaks not of our purposes, for look, he smiles, and Caesar doth not change.
Trebonius knows his time, for look you, Brutus. He draws Mark Antony out of the way.
I was expectation.
Where is Metellus Cimber? Let him go and presently prefer his suit to Caesar.
He is addressed. Press near and second him.
Casca, you are the first that rears your hand.
Are we all ready? What is now amiss that Caesar and his Senate must redress?
Most high, most mighty, and most puissant Caesar, Metellus Cimber throws before thy seat an humble heart.
I must prevent thee, Cimber. These couchings and these lowly courtesies might fire the blood of ordinary men and turn preordinance and first decree into the law of children. Be not fond to think Caesar bears such rebel blood that will be thawed from the true quality with that which melteth fools. I mean sweet words, low crooked curtsies, and base spaniel fawning. Thy brother, by decree, is banished. If thou dost bend and pray and fawn for him, I spurn thee like a cur out of my way. No, Caesar doth not wrong, nor without cause will he be satisfied.
Is there no voice more worthy than my own to sound more sweetly in great Caesar's ear for the repealing of my banished brother?
I kiss thy hand, but not in flattery, Caesar, desiring thee that Publius Cimber may have an immediate freedom of repeal.
What, Brutus?
Pardon, Caesar, Caesar, pardon. As low as to thy foot doth Cassius fall to beg, and frangisement for Publius Cimber.
I could be well moved if I were as you. If I could pray to move, prayers would move me, but I am constant as the northern star, of whose true fixed and resting quality there is no fellow in the firmament. The skies are painted with unnumbered sparks. They are all fire, and every one doth shine. But there's but one in all doth hold his place. So in the world, 'tis furnished well with men, and men are flesh and blood and apprehensive. Yet in the number I do know but one that unassailable holds on his rank unshaked of motion, and that I am he, let me a little show it, even in this, that I was constant, Simba should be banished, and constant do remain to keep him so.
O Caesar!
Hence, wilt thou lift up Olympus?
Great Caesar!
Doth not Brutus bootless kneel? Speak, hands for me. Et tu, Brute? Then, for Caesar.
Liberty! Freedom! Tyranny is dead! Run hence! Proclaim! Cry it about the streets!
Some to the common pulpits and cry out, Liberty! Freedom! And enfranchisement!
People and senators, be not affrighted! Fly not! Stand stiff! Ambition's debt is paid!
Go to the pulpit, Brutus.
And Cassius, too.
Where's Publius?
Here, quite confounded with this mutiny.
Stand fast together, lest some friend of Caesar should charge...
Talk not of standing. Publius, good cheer. There is no harm intended to your person, nor to no Roman else. So tell them, Publius.
And leave us, Publius, lest that the people rushing on us should do your age some mischief.
Do so, and let no man abide this deed, but we, the doers.
Where is Antony?
Fled to his house, amazed. Men, wives, and children stare, cry out, and run as it were doomsday.
Fates, we will know your pleasures. That we shall die, we know. 'Tis but the time and drawing days out that men stand upon.
Why, he that cuts off 20 years of life cuts off so many years of fearing death.
Grant that, and then is death a benefit. So are we Caesar's friends that have abridged his time of fearing death. Stoop. Romans, stoop and let us bathe our hands in Caesar's blood up to the elbows and besmear our swords. Then walk we forth, even to the marketplace, and waving our red weapons o'er our heads, let's all cry peace, freedom, and liberty.
Stoop, then, and wash. How many ages hence shall this, our lofty scene, be acted over in states unborn and in accents yet unknown?
How many times shall Caesar bleed in sport that now on Pompey's basis lies along no worthier than the dust?
So oft as that shall be, so often shall the knot of us be called the men that gave their country liberty.
What? Shall we forth?
Aye. Every man away. Brutus shall lead. And we will grace his heels with the most boldest and best hearts of Rome.
Soft. Who comes here? A friend of Antony's.
Thus, Brutus, did my master bid me kneel. Thus did Mark Antony bid me fall down. And being prostrate, thus he bade me say. Brutus is noble, wise, valiant, and honest. Caesar was mighty, bold, royal, and loving. Say I love Brutus, and I honor him. Say I feared Caesar, honored him, and loved him. If Brutus will vouchsafe that Antony may safely come to him and be resolved how Caesar hath deserved to lie in death, Mark Antony shall not love Caesar dead so well as Brutus living, but will follow the fortunes and affairs of noble Brutus, thorough the hazards of this untrod state with all true faith. So says my master Antony.
Thy master is a wise and valiant Roman. I never thought him worse. Tell him, so please him, come unto this place. He shall be satisfied, and by my honor depart untouched.
I'll fetch him presently.
I know that we shall have him well to friend.
I wish we may, but yet, have I a mind that fears him much, and my misgiving still falls shrewdly to the purpose.
But here comes Antony. Welcome, Mark Antony.
Oh, mighty Caesar, dost thou lie so low? Are all thy conquests, glories, triumphs, spoils shrunk to this little measure? Fare thee well. I know not, gentlemen, what you intend. Who else must be let blood, who else is rank? If I myself, there is no hour so fit as Caesar's death hour, nor no instrument of half that worth as those your swords made rich with the most noble blood of all this world. I do beseech ye, if you bear me hard now, whilst your purpled hands do reek and smoke, fulfill your pleasure. Live 1,000 years, I shall not find myself so apt to die. No place will please me so, no mean of death as here by Caesar and by you cut off, the choice and master spirits of this age.
O Antony, beg not your death of us. Though now we must appear bloody and cruel, as by our hands and this our present act you see we do, yet see you but our hands, and this the bleeding business they have done. Our hearts you see not. They are pitiful, and pity to the general wrong of Rome, as fire drives out fire, so pity, hath done this deed on Caesar. For your part, to you our swords have leaden points, Mark Antony. Our arms in strength of malice and our hearts of brother's temper do receive you in with all kind love, good thoughts, and reverence.
Your voice shall be as strong as any man's in the disposing of new dignities.
Only be patient till we have appeased the multitude beside themselves with fear, and then we will deliver you the cause why I, that did love Caesar when I struck him, have thus proceeded.
I doubt not of your wisdom. Let each man render me his bloody hand. First, Marcus Brutus, will I shake with you. Next, Caius Cassius, do I take your hand. Now, Decius Brutus, yours. Now, yours, Metellus. Yours, Cinna. And my valiant Casca, yours. Though last, not least in love, yours, good Trebonius. Gentlemen all, alas, what shall I say? My credit now stands on such slippery ground that one of two bad ways you must conceit me. Either a coward or a flatterer. That I did love thee, Caesar, oh, 'tis true. If then thy spirit look upon us now, shall it not grieve thee dearer than thy death to see thy Antony making his peace? Shaking the bloody fingers of thy foes most noble in the presence of thy corse? Had I as many eyes as thou hast wounds, weeping as fast as they stream forth thy blood, it would become me better than to close in terms of friendship with thine enemies. Pardon me, Julius. Here wast thou bade, brave heart. Here didst thou fall, and here thy hunters stand, signed in thy spoil and crimsoned in thy lethe. O world, thou wast the forest to this heart. And this, indeed, O world, the heart of thee. How like a deer, strucken by many princes, dost thou here lie.
Mark Antony.
Pardon me, Caius Cassius. The enemies of Caesar shall say this, then in a friend it is cold modesty.
I blame you not for praising Caesar so, but what compact mean you to have with us? Will you be pricked in number of our friends, or shall we on and not depend on you?
Therefore I took your hands, but was indeed swayed from the point by looking down on Caesar. Friends, I am with you all, and love you all upon this hope, that you shall give me reasons why and wherein Caesar was dangerous.
Or else were this a savage spectacle. Our reasons are so full of good regard that were you, Antony, the son of Caesar, you should be satisfied.
That's all I seek. and am moreover suitor that I may produce his body to the marketplace, and in the pulpit, as becomes a friend, speak in the order of his funeral.
You shall, Mark Antony.
Brutus, a word with you. You know not what you do. Do not consent that Antony speak in his funeral. Know you how much the people may be moved by that which he will utter?
By your pardon, I will myself into the pulpit first and show the reason of our Caesar's death. What Antony shall speak, I will protest he speaks by leave and by permission, and that we are contented Caesar shall have all true rites and lawful ceremonies, it shall advantage more than do us wrong.
I know not what may fall. I like it not.
Mark Antony, here, take you Caesar's body. You shall not in your funeral speech blame us, but speak all good you can devise of Caesar, and say you do it by our permission. Else shall you not have any hand at all about his funeral. And you shall speak in the same pulpit whereto I am going after my speech is ended.
Be it so. I do desire no more.
Prepare the body, then, and follow us.
Oh, pardon me, thou bleeding piece of earth, that I am meek and gentle with these butchers. Thou art the ruins of the noblest man that ever lived in the tide of times. Woe to the hand that shed this costly blood. Over thy wounds now do I prophesy, which like dumb mouths do ope their ruby lips to beg the voice and utterance of my tongue. A curse shall light upon the limbs of men. Domestic fury and fierce civil strife shall cumber all the parts of Italy. Blood and destruction shall be so in use, and dreadful objects so familiar that mothers shall but smile when they behold their infants quartered with the hands of war, all pity choked with custom of fell deeds. And Caesar's spirit, ranging for revenge, with Arte by his side, come hot from hell, shall in these confines with a monarch's voice cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war, that this foul deed shall smell above the earth with carrion men groaning for burial. You serve Octavius Caesar, do you not?
I do, Mark Antony.
Caesar did right for him to come to Rome.
He did receive his letters and is coming, and bid me say to you by word of mouth. Oh, Caesar.
Thy heart is big. Get thee apart and weep. Passion I see is catching. For mine eyes, seeing those beads of sorrow stand in thine, began to water. Is thy master coming?
He lies tonight within 7 leagues of Rome.
Boast back with speed and tell him what hath chanced. Here is a mourning Rome. A dangerous Rome. No Rome of safety for Octavius yet. Hie hence and tell him so. Yet stay a while. Thou shalt not back till I have borne this course into the marketplace. There shall I try in my oration how the people take the cruel issue of these bloody men, according to the which thou shalt discourse to young Octavius of the state of things. Lend me your hand.
Friends.
Cassius, go you into the other street and part the numbers.
Those that will hear me speak, let them stay here. Those that will follow Cassius, go with him. And public reason shall be rendered of Caesar's death.
I will hear Brutus speak.
I will hear Cassius and compare their reasons when severally we hear them rendered.
The noble Brutus has ascended. Silence!
Be patient till the last. Romans, countrymen, lovers, Hear me for my cause and be silent that you may hear. Believe me for mine honor, and have respect to mine honor that you may believe. Censure me in your wisdom and awake your senses that you may the better judge. If there be any in this assembly, any dear friend of Caesar's, to him I say that Brutus' love to Caesar was no less than his. If then that friend demand why Brutus rose against Caesar, this is my answer. Not that I loved Caesar less, but that I loved Rome more. Yes. Had you rather Caesar were living and die all slaves than that Caesar were dead to live all free men? As Caesar loved me, I weep for him. As he was fortunate, I rejoice at it. As he was valiant, I honor him. But as he was ambitious, I slew him. There is tears for his love, joy for his fortune, honor for his valor, and death for his ambition. Who is here so base that would be a bondman? If any, speak. For him have I offended. Who is here so rude that would not be a Roman? If any, speak, for him have I offended. Who is here so vile that will not love his country? If any, speak, for him have I offended. I pause for a reply.
None, Brutus!
Then none have I offended. I have done no more to Caesar than you shall do to Brutus. The question of his death is enrolled in the Capitol, his glory not extenuated wherein he was worthy, nor his offences enforced for which he suffered death. Here comes his body, mourned by Mark Antony, who, though he had no hand in his death, shall receive the benefit of his dying a place in the Commonwealth, as which of you shall not? With this I depart. That as I slew my best lover for the good of Rome, I have the same dagger for myself when it shall please my country to need my death.
Live! Live!
Bring him with triumph home into his house.
Give him a statue with his ancestors.
Let him be Caesar.
We'll bring him to his house with shouts and clamours.
My countrymen!
Peace, Silas, Brutus!
Peace, all!
Good countrymen, let me depart alone. And for my sake, stay here with Antony. Do grace to Caesar's corpse, and grace his speech tending to Caesar's glories, which Mark Antony, by our permission, is allowed to make. I do entreat you, not a man depart, save I alone, till Antony have spoke.
Stay!
Ho! And let us hear Mark Antony!
Let him go up in the public chair, we'll hear him. Noble Antony, go up!
For Brutus' sake, I am beholding to you.
What does he say of Brutus? He says of Brutus' sake, he finds himself beholding to us all.
To our best he speak no harm of Brutus here.
This Caesar was a tyrant.
Nay, that's certain we are blessed that Rome is rid of him.
Peace! Let us hear what Antony can say.
You gentle Romans!
Peace, all is
friends! Romans! Countrymen! Lend me your ears! I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones. So let it be with Caesar. The noble Brutus hath told you Caesar was ambitious. If it were so, it were a grievous fault, and grievously hath Caesar answered it. Here, under leave of Brutus and the rest, for Brutus is an honourable man, so are they all honourable men, come I to speak in Caesar's funeral. He was my friend, faithful and just to me. But Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man.
He hath brought many captives home to Rome, whose ransoms did the general coffers fill. Did this in Caesar seem ambitious? When that the poor have cried, Caesar hath wept, ambition should be made of sterner stuff. Yet Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man. You all did see that on the Lupercal I thrice presented him a kingly crown, which he did thrice refuse. Was this ambition? Yet Brutus says he was ambitious, and sure he is an honorable man. I speak not to disprove what Brutus spoke, but here I am to speak what I do know. You all did love him once, not without cause. What cause withholds you then to mourn for him? Oh, judgment, thou art fled to brutish beasts, and men have lost their reason. Bear with me. My heart is in the coffin there with Caesar, and I must pause till it come back to me.
I think there is much reason in his sayings.
If thou consider rightly of the matter, Caesar has had great wrong.
Has he, masters? I fear there will a worse come in his place.
Well, mark ye his words. He would not take the crown. Therefore, 'tis certain he was not ambitious.
If it be found so, some will dear abide it.
Poor soul, his eyes are red as fire with weeping.
There's not a nobler man in Rome than Antony.
Now, mark him. He begins again to speak.
But yesterday, the word of Caesar might have stood against the world. Now lies he there, and none so poor to do him reverence. Oh, masters, if I were disposed to stir your hearts and minds to mutiny and rage, I should do Brutus wrong, and Cassius wrong, who you all know are honorable men. I will not do them wrong. I rather choose to wrong the dead, to wrong myself and you, than I will wrong such honorable men. But here's a parchment with the seal of Caesar. I found it in his closet. 'Tis his will. Let but the commons hear this testament, which, pardon me, I do not mean to read, and they would go and kiss dead Caesar's wounds and dip their napkins in his sacred blood, yea, beg a hair of him for memory, and dying, mention it within their wills, bequeathing it as a rich legacy unto their issue.
We will hear the will! Read it, Mark Antony!
Patience, gentle friends, I must not read it. It is not meet you know how Caesar loved you. You are not wood, you are not stones, but men. And being men, hearing the will of Caesar, it will inflame you. It will make you mad. 'Tis good you know not that you are his heirs, for if you should, what would come of it?
Read the will! We'll hear it, Antony! You shall read us the will, Caesar's will!
Will you be patient? Will you stay a while? I have shot myself to tell you of it. I fear I wrong the honorable men whose daggers have stabbed Caesar. I do fear it.
But they were traitors, honorable men!
They were villains! Murderers! The will! Read the will!
You will compel me, then, to read the will. Then make a ring about the corpse of Caesar, and let me show you him that made the will. Shall I descend? And will you give me leave?
Come down!
You shall have leave!
A ring! Stand away!
Stand from the hearse! Stand from the body!
Room for Antony, most noble Antony!
Nay, press not so upon me! Stand far off!
Stand back!
If you have tears, prepare to shed them now. You all do know this mantle. I remember the first time ever Caesar put it on. 'Twas on a summer's evening in his tent, that day he overcame the Nervii. Look. In this place ran Cassius' dagger through. See what a rent the envious Casca made. Through this the well-beloved Brutus stabbed. And as he plucked his cursed steel away, mark how the blood of Caesar followed it, as rushing out of doors to be resolved if Brutus so unkindly knocked or no. For Brutus, as you know, was Caesar's angel. judge. Oh, you gods, how dearly Caesar loved him. This was the most unkindest cut of all. For when the noble Caesar saw him stab, ingratitude, more strong than traitor's arms, quite vanquished him. Then burst his mighty heart. And in his mantle muffling up his face, even at the base of Pompey's statue, which all the while ran blood, great Caesar fell. Oh, what a fool was there, my countrymen. Then I and you and all of us fell down whilst bloody treason flourished over us. Oh, now you weep, and I perceive you feel the dint of pity. These are gracious drops. Kind souls, what weep you when you but behold our Caesar's vesture wounded? Look you here. Here is himself, marred, as you see, with traitors.
Oh, piteous spectacle, noble Caesar.
Oh, woeful day.
Oh, traitors, villains.
Oh, most bloody sight.
We will be revenged.
Revenge!
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 Fire!
Fire!
Stay, countrymen!
Peaceful! Hear the noble Antony.
We'll hear him. We'll follow him. We'll die for him.
Good friends. Sweet friends. Let me not stir you up to such a sudden flood of mutiny. They that have done this deed are honourable. What private griefs they have, alas, I know not that made them do it. They are wise and honourable and will, no doubt, with reasons answer you. I come not, friends, to steal away your hearts. I am no orator, as Brutus is, but as you know me all, a plain, blunt man that love my friend. And that they know full well that gave me public leave to speak of him. For I have neither wit, nor words, nor worth, action, nor utterance, nor the power of speech to stir men's blood. I only speak right on. I tell you that which you yourselves do know. Show you sweet Caesar's wounds, poor, poor dumb mouths, and bid them speak for me. But were I Brutus and Brutus Antony, there were an Antony would ruffle up your spirits and put a tongue in every wound of Caesar that should move the stones of Rome to rise and mutiny.
We'll mutiny!
We'll burn the house of Brutus.
Away then, come seek the conspirators.
Yet hear me, countrymen. Yet hear me speak.
Peace!
Noble Antony!
Noble Antony!
Why, friends, you go to do you know not what? Wherein hath Caesar thus deserved your loves? Alas, you know not. I must tell you then. You have forgot the will I told you of.
The will!
The will!
Here is the will, and under Caesar's seal. To every Roman citizen he gives, to every several man, 75 drachmas.
Most noble Caesar will revenge his death.
Royal Caesar!
Hear me with patience. Moreover, he hath left you all his walks, his private arbors, and new planted orchards on this side Tiber. He hath left them you and to your heirs forever. Common pleasures to walk abroad and recreate yourselves. Here was a Caesar. When comes such another?
Never! Never!
Now let it work. Mischief, thou art afoot. Take thou what course thou wilt. How now, fellow?
Sir, Octavius is already come to Rome.
Where is he?
He and Lepidus are at Caesar's house.
And thither will I stray to visit him. Comes upon a wish. Fortune is merry, and in this mood will give us anything.
I heard him say Brutus and Cassius are rid like madmen through the gates of Rome.
Belike they had some notice of the people, how I had moved them. Bring me to Octavius.
I dreamt tonight that I did feast with Caesar, and things unlucky charge my fantasy. I have no will to wander forth of doors, yet something leads me forth.
What is your name?
Where do you dwell?
Are you a married man or a bachelor?
Answer every man directly.
I am briefly. I am wisely.
I am truly you were best.
What is my name? Whither am I going? Where do I dwell? Am I a married man or a bachelor? Then to answer every man directly and briefly, wisely and truly, wisely, I say I am a bachelor.
That's as much as to say they are fools that marry. You'll bear me a bang for that, I fear. Proceed. Directly.
Directly, I am going to Caesar's funeral.
As a friend or an enemy?
As a friend.
That mattereth answer directly.
For your dwelling, briefly.
Briefly, I dwell by the capital.
Your name, sir, truly?
Truly, my name is Sinner.
Tear him to pieces, he's a conspirator.
I'm Sinner the poet, I am Sinner the poet.
Tear him for his bad verses.
Tear him for his bad verses. I am not Sinner the conspirator.
It is no matter, his name's Sinner. Pluck but his name out of his heart and turn him going. Tear him.
Tear him! Come, Brands. Ho! Fire, Brands. To Brutus, to Cassius. Burn all. Some to Decius' house, some to Casca's, some to Ligarius. Away! Go!
These many then shall die. Their names are pricked.
Your brother too must die. Consent you, Lepidus?
I do consent.
Prick him down, Antony.
Upon condition, Publius shall not live, who is your sister's son, Mark Antony.
He shall not live. Look, with a spot I damn him. But, Lepidus, go you to Caesar's house. Fetch the will hither, and we shall determine how to cut off some charge in legacies.
What? Shall I find you here?
Or here, or at the capital.
This is a slight, unmeritable man, meet to be sent on errands. Is it fit, the threefold world divided, he should stand one of the three to share it?
So you thought him and took his voice, who should be pricked to die in our black sentence and prescription.
Octavius, I have seen more days than you. And though we lay these honours on this man to ease ourselves of diverse slanderous loads, he shall but bear them as the ass bears gold. To groan and sweat under the business, either led or driven as we point the way. And having brought our treasure where we will, then take we down his load and turn him off like to the empty ass to shake his ears and graze in commons.
You may do your will, but he's a tried and valiant soldier.
So is my horse, Octavius, and for that I do appoint him store of provender. It is a creature that I teach to fight, to wind, to stop, to run directly on, his corporal motion governed by my spirit. And in some taste is Lepidus but so. He must be taught and trained and bid go forth. A barren-spirited fellow. One that feeds on objects, arts, and imitations, which, out of use and staled by other men, begin his fashion. Do not talk of him but as a property. And now, Octavius, listen great things. Brutus and Cassius are levying powers. We must straight make head. Therefore, let our alliance be combined, our best friends made, our means stretched, and let us presently go sit in council how covert matters may be best disclosed and open perils surest answered.
Let us do so, for we are at the stake, and bayed about with many enemies. And some that smile have in their hearts, I fear, millions of mischiefs.
What now, Lucilius? Is Cassius near?
He is at hand, and Pindarus is come to do you salutation from his master.
He greets me well. Your master, Pindarus, in his own change or by ill offices, hath given me some worthy cause to wish things done undone. But if he be at hand, I shall be satisfied.
I do not doubt but that my noble master will appear, such as he is, full of regard and honour.
He is not doubted. A word, Lucilius. How he received you, let me be resolved.
With courtesy and with respect enough, but not with such familiar instances, nor with such free and friendly conference as he hath used of old.
Thou hast described a hot friend cooling. Ever note, Lucilius, when love begins to sicken and decay, it useth an enforced ceremony. There are no tricks in plain and simple faith. But hollow men, like horses hot at hand, make gallant show and promise of their mettle. But when they should endure the bloody spur, they fool their crests, and like deceitful jades, sink in the trial. Comes his army on.
They mean this knight in Sardis to be quartered. The greater part, the horse in general, are come with Cassius.
Hark, he's arrived.
Stand ho!
Most noble brother, you have done me wrong. Judge me, your gods. Wrong I mine enemies, and if not so, how should I wrong a brother? Brutus, this sober form of yours hides wrongs, and when you do
Cassius,
them...
be content.
Speak your griefs softly. I do know you well. Before the eyes of both our armies here, which should perceive nothing but love from us, let us not wrangle. Bid them move away, then in my tent, Cassius, enlarge your griefs, and I will give you audience.
Pindarus, bid our commanders lead their charges off a little from this ground.
Lucilius, do you the like, and let no man come to our tent till we have done our conference. Let Lucius and Titinius guard our door.
But you have wronged me to appear in this. You have condemned a noted Lucius Pella for taking bribes here of the Sardians, wherein my letters, praying on his side because I knew the man, was slighted off.
You wronged yourself to write in such a case.
In such a time as this, it is not meet that every nice offense should bear his comment.
Let me tell you, Cassius, you yourself are much condemned to have an itching palm, to sell and mart your offices for gold to undeservers.
Aye, an itching palm. You know that you are Brutus that speaks this, or by the gods, this speech were else your last.
The name of Cassius honors this corruption, and chastisement doth therefore hide his head.
Chastisement?
Remember March! The Ides of March, remember! Did not great Julius bleed for justice's sake? What villain touched his body that did stab, and not for justice? What shall one of us that struck the foremost man of all this world but for supporting robbers, shall we now contaminate our fingers with base bribes and sell the mighty space of our large honours for so much trash as may be grasped thus? I had rather be a dog and bay at the moon than such a Roman.
Brutus, bait not me. I'll not endure it. You forget yourself to hedge me in. I am a soldier. I older in practice, abler than yourself to make conditions.
Go to, you are not, Cassius.
I am.
I say you are not.
Urge me no more. I shall forget myself. Have mind upon your health. Tempt me no farther.
Go away, slight man.
It's possible.
Hear me, for I will speak. Must I give way and room to your rash choler? Shall I be frighted when a madman stares?
Oh, ye gods, ye gods! Must I endure all this?
All this? I more fret till your proud heart break. Go show your slaves how choleric you are, and make your bondmen tremble. Must I budge? Must I observe you? Must I stand and crouch under your testy humour? By the gods, you shall digest the venom of your spleen, though it do split you. For from this day forth, I'll use you for my mirth, yea, for my laughter, when you are waspish.
Is it come to this?
You say you are a better soldier. Let it appear so. Make your vaunting true, and it shall please me well. For mine own part, I shall be glad to learn of noble men.
You wrong me every way. You wrong me, Brutus. I said an elder soldier, not a better. Did I say better?
If you did, I care not.
When Caesar lived, he durst not thus have moved me.
Peace, peace. You durst not so have tempted him.
I durst not.
No.
What? Durst not tempt him?
For your life, you durst not.
Do not presume too much upon my love. I may do that. I shall be sorry for.
You have done that. You should be sorry for. There is no terror, Cassius, in your threats, for I am armed so strong in honesty that they pass me by as the idle wind, which I respect not. I did send to you for certain sums of gold, which you denied me. For I can raise no money by vile means. By heaven, I had rather coin my heart and drop my blood for drachmas than to wring from the hard hands of peasants their vile trash by any indirection. I did send to you for gold to pay my legions, which you denied me. Was that done like Cassius? Should I have answered Caius Cassius so?
When Marcus Brutus grows so covetous to lock the rascal counters from his friends, be ready, gods, with all your thunderbolts. Dash him to pieces.
I denied you not!
You did!
I did not! He was but a fool that brought my answer back. Brutus hath rived my heart. A friend should bear his friend's infirmities, but Brutus makes mine greater than they are.
I do not till you practice them on me.
Ah, you love me not.
I do not like your faults.
A friendly eye could never see such faults.
The flatterers would not, though they do appear as huge as high Olympus.
Come, Antony, and young Octavius, come! Revenge yourselves alone on Cassius. Oh. For Cassius is a weary of the world, hated by one he loves, braved by his brother, checked like a bondman, all his faults observed, set in a notebook, learned and conned by rote to cast into my teeth. Oh, I could weep my spirit from mine eyes. There is my dagger, and here my naked breast, within a heart dearer than Pluto's mine, richer than gold. If that thou be'st a Roman, take it forth. I that denied thee gold will give my heart. Strike as thou didst at Caesar, for I know. When thou didst hate him worst, thou lovest him better than ever thou lovest Cassius.
Sheathe your dagger. Be angry when you will. It shall have scope. Do what you will. Dishonor shall be humor. Oh, Cassius, you are yoked with a lamb that carries anger as the flint bears fire, who much enforced shows a hasty spark and straight is cold again.
Hath Cassius lived to be but mirth and laughter to his Brutus when grief and blood ill-tempered vexeth him?
When I spoke that, I was ill-tempered too.
Do you confess so much? Give me your hand.
And my heart, too.
Oh, Brutus.
What's the matter?
Have not you love enough to bear with me when that rash humor which my mother gave me makes me forgetful?
Yes, Cassius. And from henceforth, when you are over earnest with your Brutus, you'll think your mother chides and leave yourself.
Let me go in to see the generals. There is some grudge between them. Tis not meet they be alone.
Shall not conquer them.
Nothing but death shall stay me.
How now? What's the matter?
For shame, you generals. What do you mean? Love and be friends as two such men should be, for I have seen more years, I'm sure, than ye.
How vilely doth this cynic rhyme.
Get you hence, sirrah. Saucy fellow, hence.
Ah! Bear with him, Brutus. 'Tis his fashion.
I'll know his humor when he knows his time. What should the wars do with these jigging fools? Companion, hence.
Away. Away, begone!
Lucilius and Titinius, bid the commanders prepare to lodge their companies tonight.
And come yourselves and bring Messala with you immediately to us.
Lucius. A bowl of wine.
I did not think you could have been so angry.
Oh, Cassius. I am sick with many griefs.
Of your philosophy, you make no use if you give place to accidental evils.
No man bears sorrow better. Portia is dead.
Portia?
She is dead.
Escaped I killing you when I crossed you, sir. Oh, insupportable and touching loss. Upon what sickness?
Impatient of my absence, and grief that young Octavius with Mark Antony had made themselves so strong. For with her death the tidings came. With this she fell distract, and her attendants absent, swallowed fire.
And died so.
Even so.
Oh, ye immortal gods.
Speak no more of her. Give me a bowl of wine.
In this, I bury all unkindness, Cassius.
My heart is thirsty for that noble pledge. Fill Lucius to the wine or swell the cup. I cannot drink too much of Brutus' love.
Come in, Titinius. Welcome, good Nasala. Now, sit we close about this taper here and call in question our necessities.
Portia, art thou gone?
No more, I pray you. Masala, I have here received letters that young Octavius and Mark Antony come down upon us with a mighty power, bending their expedition toward Philippi.
Myself have letters of the self-same tenor.
With what addition?
That by prescription and bills of outlawry, Octavius, Antony, and Lepidus have put to death 100 senators.
Therein our letters do not well agree. Mine speak of 70 senators that died by their prescriptions. Cicero being one.
Cicero one?
Cicero is dead, and by that order of prescription. Had you your letters from your wife, my lord?
No, Masala.
Nor nothing in your letters writ of her?
Nothing, Masala.
That methinks is strange.
Why ask you? Hear you aught of her in yours?
No, my lord.
Now, as you are a Roman, tell me true.
Then, like a Roman, bear the truth I tell. For certain she is dead, and by strange manner.
Why, farewell, Portia. We must die, Masala. With meditating that she must die once, I have the patience to endure it now.
Even so, great men, great losses should endure.
I have as much of this in art as you, but yet my nature could not bear it so.
Well, to our work alive. What do you think of marching to Philippi presently?
I do not think it good.
Your reason?
This it is. It is better that the enemy seek us. So shall he waste his means, weary his soldiers, doing himself offense, whilst we, lying still, are full of rest, defense, and nimbleness.
Hmm. Good reasons must of force give place to better. The people twixt Philippi and this ground do stand but in a forced affection, for they have grudged us contribution. The enemy marching along by them, by them, shall make a fuller number up. Come on refreshed, new added, and encouraged. From which advantage shall we cut him off? If at Philippi we do face him there, these people at our back.
Hear me, good brother.
Under your pardon, you must note beside that we have tried the utmost of our friends. Our legions are brimful. Our cause is ripe. The enemy increaseth every day. We at the height are ready to decline. There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves, or lose our ventures.
Then, with your will, go on. We'll along ourselves and meet them at Philippi.
The deep of night has crept upon our talk, and nature must obey necessity. Which we will niggard with a little rest. There is no more to say.
No more. Good night. Early tomorrow will we rise and hence.
Lucius. My gown. Farewell, good Masala. Good night, Titinius. Noble, noble Cassius. Good night and good repose.
Oh, my dear brother. This was an ill beginning of the night. Never comes such division between our souls. Let it not, Brutus.
Everything is well.
Good night, my lord.
Good night, good brother.
Good night.
Good night, Lord Brutus.
Farewell, everyone. Give me the gown. Where is thy instrument?
Here in the tent.
What, thou speak'st drowsily? Poor knave, I blame thee not. Thou art o'erwatched. Call Claudius and some other of my men. I'll have them sleep on cushions in my tent.
Varro and Claudius.
Calls my lord.
I pray you, sirs, lie in my tent and sleep. It may be I shall raise you by and by on business to my brother Cassius.
So please you, we will stand and watch your pleasure.
I will not have it so. Lie down, good sirs. It may be I shall otherwise bethink me.
Look, Lucius.
Here's the book I sought for, sir. I put it in the pocket of my gown.
I'm sure your lordship did not give it me.
Bear with me, good boy. I am much forgetful. Canst thou hold up thy heavy eyes a while and touch thy instrument a string or two?
Aye, my lord, and please you.
It does, my boy. I trouble thee too much, but thou art willing.
It is my duty, sir.
I should not urge thy duty past thy might. I know young bloods look for a time of rest.
I have slept, my lord, already.
It was well done, and thou shalt sleep again. I will not hold thee long. If I do live, I will be good to thee. Oh, this is a sleepy tune. Oh, murderous slumber, layest thou thy leaden mace upon my boy that plays thee music. Gentle knave, good night. I will not do thee so much wrong to wake thee. If thou dost not, thou breakst thy instrument. I'll take it from thee. And good boy, good night. Let me see. It's not the leaf turned down where I left reading. Here it is, I think. How ill this taper burns. Who comes here? I think it is the weakness of mine eyes that shapes this monstrous apparition. It comes upon me. Art thou anything? Art thou some god, some angel, or some devil that makes my blood cold and my hair to stare? Speak to me what thou art.
Thy evil spirit, Brutus.
Why comest thou?
To tell thee thou shalt see me at Philippi.
Well, then I shall see thee again.
Aye, at Philippi.
Why, I will see thee at Philippi then. Now I have taken heart, thou vanishest. Ill spirit, I would hold more talk with thee. Boy.
Lucius! Barrow, Claudius, sirs, awake! Claudius!
The strings, my lord, are false.
He thinks he is still at his instrument. Lucius, awake!
My lord!
Didst thou dream, Lucius, that thou so criedst out?
My lord, I do not know that I did cry.
Yes, that thou didst. Didst thou see anything?
Nothing, my lord.
Sleep again, Lucius. Sirrah Claudius! Fellow, thou awake!
My lord!
My lord!
Why did you so cry out, sirs, in your sleep?
Did we, my lord?
I saw you anything?
No, my lord, I saw nothing.
Nor I, my lord.
Go and commend me to my brother Cassius. Bid him set on his powers betimes before, and we will follow.
It shall be done, my lord.
Now, Antony, our hopes are answered. You said the enemy would not come down, but keep the hills and upper regions. It proves not so. Their battles are at hand. They mean to warn us at Philippi, here, answering before we do demand of them.
Tut, I am in their bosoms, and I know wherefore they do it. They could be content to visit other places, and come down with fearful bravery, thinking by this face to fasten in our thoughts that they have courage. But 'tis not so.
Prepare, you generals. The enemy comes on in gallant show. Their bloody sign of battle is hung out, and something to be done immediately.
Octavius, lead your battle softly on upon the left hand of the even field.
Upon the right hand, I. Keep thou the left.
Why do you cross me in this exigent?
I do not cross you, but I will do so.
They stand and would have parley.
Stand fast, Titinius. We must out and talk.
Mark Antony, shall we give the sign of battle?
No, Caesar, we will answer on their charge. Make forth. The generals would have some words.
Stir not until the signal.
Words before blows. Is it so, countrymen?
Not that we love words better as you do.
Good words are better than bad strokes, Octavius.
In your bad strokes, Brutus, you give good words. Witness the hole you made in Caesar's heart, crying, "Long live, hail Caesar!"
Antony, the posture of your blows are yet unknown, but for your words, they rob the Hybla bees and leave them honeyless.
Not stingless, too.
Oh, yes, and soundless, too, for you have stolen their buzzing, Antony, and very wisely threat before you sting.
Villains, you did not so when your vile daggers hacked one another in the sides of Caesar. You showed your teeth like apes, and fawned like hounds, and bowed like bondmen kissing Caesar's feet, whilst damned Casca, like a cur, behind struck Caesar on the neck. Oh, you flatterers.
Flatterers! Now, Brutus, thank yourself. This tongue had not offended so today if Cassius might have ruled.
Come, come, the cause. If arguing make us sweat, the proof of it will turn to redder drops. Look, I draw a sword against conspirators. When think you that sword goes up again? Never, till Caesar's 33 wounds will be avenged.